Biden holds a terrible press conference. Christians are being persecuted in Afghanistan. And a patient gets removed from the transplant list because they are unvaccinated. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show. The William Hall Show is brought to you by the Second Amendment Jerky Company. This is a simple product that I really like. Fantastic beef jerky and a portion of every purchase goes to supporting your right to bear arms. The Second Amendment is in more danger now perhaps than ever in history. There are a ton of great ways to support the Second Amendment, but the most delicious way is to buy beef jerky from the Second Amendment Jerky Company. Plus, all orders ship free from 2ajerky.com. That is 2ajerky.com to support the Second. Eat delicious beef jerky, and of course, help support the William Hall Show. All right, so many of you are probably well aware of what's going on in Afghanistan. I talked about a bit of it on the last episode as well. But now you have Biden. Everyone was waiting to hear from him, okay? I mean, at this point, he should have said something immediately, put out a statement about what was going on. But instead, we heard only that he was on vacation. And we saw him kind of sitting in this war room, if you will, by himself, just looking feeble and pathetic. And we're wondering what is going on with Biden. What does he have to say on this particular issue? So he actually took to the stage and held a press conference just a couple of days ago that we, I think, all rightly suspected was going to be about Afghanistan. Well, come to find out, he didn't discuss Afghanistan at all. He actually decided to discuss masking and all of the other Republican governors that he didn't like. Here's a bit of what that sounded like.
Let me say a few words about masks and our children. Unfortunately, as we've seen throughout this pandemic, some politicians are trying to turn public safety measures, that is, children wearing masks in school, into political disputes for their own political gain. Some are even trying to take power away from local educators by banning masks in school. They're setting a dangerous tone. For example, last week at a school board meeting in Tennessee, protesters threatened doctors and nurses who were testifying making the case for masking children in schools. The intimidation and the threats we're seeing across the country are wrong. They're unacceptable. Now, I've said before, this isn't about politics. It's about keeping our children safe. It's about taking on the virus together, united. I've made it clear that I'll stand with those who are trying to do the right thing. Last week, I called school superintendents in Florida and Arizona to thank them for doing the right thing and requiring masks in their schools. One of them said, "We teach science, so we follow the science." The other said, "They have a guiding principle, students first." I just couldn't agree more with what they both said. And that's why today I'm directing the Secretary of Education, an educator himself, to take additional steps to protect our children. This includes using all of his oversight authorities and legal action, if appropriate, against governors who are trying to block and intimidate local school officials and educators.
So, yeah, you have Biden trying to clearly go against the Republican governors, DeSantis and Greg Abbott, obviously, is who he's kind of alluding to there, with them basically saying that we're not going to deal with any of these mask mandates in our state. And you have Biden literally presenting this idea that he's going to do everything that he can, at least with his administration, to counteract what they're doing, which is ridiculous. But that's also off topic to what's really going on. I mean, there was no comment about Afghanistan whatsoever. I mean, I don't understand. We've been waiting days, all of this chaos unfolding in Afghanistan, and nothing. We hear absolutely nothing from the White House right now, from Biden, from anyone. It's just unacceptable. It's unacceptable. I mean, it really just shows that their priorities are not in order. They've got the wrong things that they're trying to prioritize. While you literally have American citizens that are stuck in Afghanistan to this day, you have Biden standing off and basically talking about mask mandates in schools. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And so, of course, once he finished, typical fashion for Biden, I don't think anybody's surprised about this, but as soon as Biden was finished with this press conference, he bolted. He left. He was out there, no questions asked. Here's basically what happened there.
We just need to finish the job with science, with facts, and with confidence. And together, as the United States of America, we'll get this done. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you.
So what you're seeing here is that Biden is a coward. That's what this is. He does not want to take any questions. They probably told him not to take any questions because they even knew. His advisors, the people that work for him, knew that he's going to mess something up. He's going to have something dumb that he says, and it's going to wind up on the front page of the news next day. That's why he didn't say anything. He's scared. They have no answers to what's going on right now in Afghanistan. And that should scare everybody because this administration in its entirety is purely incompetent at what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing. They messed up everything in Afghanistan right now. That couldn't be more clear. And yet they have nothing to say about this. It's just unacceptable behavior. Now, you know, Trump wouldn't be behaving this way. I mean, the media hated Trump, but yet he always got up on the stage and took their questions. The ones that hated him, the ones that were attacking him with their questions. You know what we're talking about, the fake news media. And every single time we had tons of highlights of him kind of going back in the media, going back and forth with the media, because that was where Trump kind of shined in many ways. And yet you have Biden just basically saying, nope, I'm out, I'm done. I don't think Biden's going to be in office very long, to be honest with you. I'm really thinking that maybe the Democrats, his advisors, or somebody is telling them and kind of planning an exit of some sort. I don't know what's going on. But either way, when you see him deliberately avoiding everybody, is remaining quiet, not talking about what's happening whatsoever on major issues, and just still talking about the mask mandates in schools, just kind of should strike a bit of fear in the hearts of people that are looking at the state of this country right now, because Biden isn't running it. I really don't think he's running it. He's not coming off as a leader right now. And make no mistake, the world is watching this. The world knows the difference. So DeSantis actually was able to chime back on this issue on Sean Hannity. And here's a little bit about what DeSantis had to say in response.
Well, he's asleep at the switch, Sean. And first, let me say, I mean, obviously, after 9/11, we needed to go in and rout the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. But I think in hindsight, we should have come home after that. I think trying to do the democracy and all that, I think, has been very problematic. Now, having said that, and I think Trump was right to say we needed to come home from Afghanistan, how you do that matters. When you're leaving thousands of Americans to fend for themselves behind enemy lines, that matters. When you're leaving billions of dollars in military equipment for our enemies to just take, that matters. It's going to make that area a disaster. Obviously, Americans are at risk. And Sean, you know who's looking at this? China, Russia, North Korea, all of our adversaries are taking the measure of Joe Biden, and they see that this is not somebody who's capable of leading with conviction and leading on the world stage. So they are going to do everything they can, as long as he's president, to take advantage of that. And I think we're in for a rocky 3.5 years as long as he's president.
I don't know how we get every American out of there safely. There's one big part of the president's message, and this is the call that I keep referring to, confirmed on this program last night by Mark Meadows, the chief of staff. Donald Trump was very clear with the Taliban. If you step out of line one time, I will obliterate you. There would be no waiting. It would happen immediately and expeditiously. That was missing as 10%, 20%, 40%, 60%, 70% of the country was taken over by the Taliban. Joe Biden didn't lift a finger, Governor. How do you not react when it's happening before your eyes?
Well, not only that, he was on vacation They had to ply him off of vacation to give a kind of a half-cocked statement on camera that he said wasn't taking questions. Then he goes back on vacation, and he is obsessed. While you have all the stuff going on with Afghanistan, obviously all the stuff at the southern border, which you and I have talked about, one of the biggest border disasters in the history of our country, inflation, gas prices. And what does he do? He is obsessed with having the government force kindergartners to wear masks all day in school.
So like Trump mentioned, this isn't so much about the idea that they left Afghanistan. It's more about the way in which they did it. They weren't prepared. They didn't consider the consequences. They didn't look at how they should do it properly in a systematic order that would minimize the effects of them doing this. They just pulled them out. And now we have more troops being sent in than we had previously because of mistakes by this administration. So there's actually this report, because remember, there's many Americans that are still right to this day stuck in Afghanistan that cannot get out, especially not safely. They're definitely not safe even there. But this report showing that the Biden Defense Department, they made a statement Wednesday afternoon saying that they don't have the capacity to rescue Americans in Afghanistan who cannot get to Kabul's airport, and that they will stay on the ground until the clock runs out, suggesting that the United States military intends to stand by its timeline of being fully out of Afghanistan by August 31st, regardless of whether Americans are left behind or not. This is incompetency on display. You don't leave American citizens that were sent there by you, you know, in Afghanistan, in this foreign country where they're not safe. It's clear that they don't care about what's happening there. They don't care about the American citizens. And just imagine being somebody right there, an American citizen that is trapped in Afghanistan, having to listen to Biden right now, listen to that speech where he finally decides to address the nation, and it has nothing to do with you getting rescued at all, with nothing that's going on with Afghanistan. It's just absolutely embarrassing. So what effects does this have? Because I think a lot of people are, you know, curious about, okay, well, how does this affect the United States? How does this affect me? The truth is that, first of all, we could be gearing up for what could be violence reaching the United States. As the Taliban realizes and sees how weak Joe Biden is, it's only enforcing them. It's only allowing it to happen. Someone basically made a statement saying that whenever there's weakness, evil can prevail within it. You have to have some kind of strength there, and that's what's basically happening right now. And the world is watching, as I've mentioned before. But Christians are actually getting persecuted right now in Afghanistan due to this bad policy, this bad idea from the Biden administration. So we have a report showing that the Taliban, the terrorist organization there, are going door to door seeking Christians, searching their phones even for Bible apps or any other apps that have something to do with Christianity whatsoever. This is happening right now. Afghan Christians are reportedly fleeing to the mountains in a desperate attempt to escape the Taliban. And then there's also a statement from the underground church there to basically detail what's happening on the ground right now. And what they have to say is that the Taliban has a hit list of known Christians that they are targeting to pursue and kill. The U.S. embassy is defunct, and there is no longer a safe place for believers to take refuge. All borders for neighboring counties are closed, and all flights to and from have been halted, with the exception of private planes. People are fleeing into the mountains looking for asylum. They are fully reliant on God, who is the only one who can and will protect them. The Taliban are going door to door, taking women and children. The people must mark their house with an X if they have a girl over 12 years old, so that the Taliban can take them. If they find a young girl in the house was not marked, they will execute the entire family. A married woman, 25 years or older, has been found. The Taliban promptly kill her husband, do whatever they want to her, and then sell her as a sex slave. Husbands and fathers have given their wives and daughters guns and told them that when the Taliban come, they are to choose to kill them or kill themselves. It is their choice. Taliban demands people and their phones now and everything else. This is a terrible situation. This is an absolutely terrible situation that wouldn't have happened if Biden would have left Afghanistan properly or just left the troops there. All Biden had to do was nothing. And this is what's going on right now. That is incredibly sad. It's incredibly tragic that this is happening today in Afghanistan or anywhere else in the world, especially when we know that it's at the fault of bad policy, of Biden being and doing things that were against what his advisors were saying, against what everyone was suggesting that he should do. He chose to mess this entire situation up, and that is the only reason why this is happening right now. That's the only reason. It's not some other outside force. It's not like something's just bad happening in another country. This is because of Biden messing this up royally. For him to get on that stage and say nothing about it is a slap in the face to every single person there. That's a fact. So going on, like I said, they're collecting people's phones. They're checking their phones for the Bible applications or apparently any other application that would allude to the idea that they are a Christian and killing them. So this persecution is happening right now, today, as a result of bad policy from Biden. That's what the effects are. And I urge everybody to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are in Afghanistan trying to fend for their lives. Because that's the only thing that, I mean, they made a correct statement there. Only God is going to protect them. And at this point, that's what it's going to require. Because this is a situation that they didn't ask for, that nobody knew was going to happen. It just kind of happened out of nowhere. And then within a couple of days, within 48 hours, Joe Biden messed this entire situation up. And now Christians are getting killed as a result of that. Not that it was necessarily safe there before, but it surely was not like this. The president of the country's gone. It's absolute chaos. So Biden messing this up, trust me, has far-reaching implications that go way beyond just some mask mandates in Florida, regardless of what he decides to say. All right, so the feds are actually planning on a third COVID shot now. This shouldn't come as any surprise to anybody that's been listening to me or pretty much anyone else out there because it's pretty predictable how this is going to go. But the thing is that apparently two shots aren't enough. I guess we have to have more, so that's what they're going to do. So the Biden administration officials are working on a plan to deliver COVID-19 booster shots to Americans as early as this fall, even as researchers continue to hotly debate whether extra shots are needed. So the thing is that it's going to be needed in their eyes because there's no perfect solution for this. That's the idea going on right now. They're going to decide that it's needed. I'm pretty positive because there never will be a solution for COVID that's going to get rid of COVID. Yet, for some reason, we're, I guess, duped into thinking that it's somehow going to work, that somehow it's going to just disappear, but it won't. The thing is that there was this report talking about the vaccine effectiveness percentages and what that really means in the long term of everything. So they actually did a few studies here. So the vaccine effectiveness against infection dropped sharply in July when the Delta variant's prevalence in Minnesota had risen over 70%. So right now, Moderna is 76% effective against infection, and Pfizer is only 42% effective towards these variants and whatnot. So this isn't good. It's not a good look when you're basically saying, oh, you got a 70, maybe a 42, depending on which one you got, maybe one or the other. That's not a good sign. Basically, you're kind of 50-50 on this. It may kind of help you. It may not. And we're not sure because that's how viruses work. They mutate. And the issue is that vaccines oftentimes help them to mutate. And in this particular situation, that's probably what happened. But the thing is that there's no point in specifically trying to assume that the vaccine is going to automatically protect you from everything COVID-related, because it's not. It won't. And it wasn't 100% effective, by the way, for the first version of COVID. But all of these variants obviously complicate everything as usual. So it really makes me wonder when I see numbers like this, why you would have anybody trying to mandate it? Why would you have somebody force you to take something that we know has somewhere around a 50% chance of actually being effective? And knowing that you're going to have to get way more. In other words, what matters today to some places could very well change in 6 months. That doesn't make much sense at all, right? I mean, it seems kind of useless to even bother about it now because in 6 months it's going to change. Well, this university, Quinnipiac University, has announced that they're going to have Wi-Fi restrictions for unvaccinated students as well as other fees and whatnot. So the university announced that it will impose fines and Wi-Fi restrictions on students who cannot or will not show proof of COVID-19 vaccination status by this upcoming semester. So this is just one of the situations where, once again, they're starting to try and mandate something that isn't even relatively effective. I mean, at 42%, are you serious? 42% is not enough for you to basically force everyone to do it. I mean, if they even remotely come in contact with somebody from the outside, if they go to a restaurant and they're around somebody, they're probably going to get it anyways. And then everybody else on campus is probably around a 50% chance of getting it as well. It shouldn't work this way. When we're looking at the numbers, I mean, this once again just proves to you more than anything that this isn't about your health. It's not. If it was, they would be looking at these facts that we have here, but they're not doing that. Because they don't want anything to do with your health. It's all about the control and being able to tell you what to do and the elitism behind all of that. So the university imposed mandatory vaccination for students and staff returning to on-campus learning. In an email sent to students, school leadership stated that approximately 600 students have yet to fulfill the vaccination mandates, or at least they have yet to upload a copy of their vaccination record. Our goal is to protect the health of our entire community, the email obtained from the local outlet was talking about there. In order to accomplish this, we must know if you have been vaccinated. Once again, you can do all that all you want, but it's not going to help you. It's not going to get you anywhere because ultimately being vaccinated doesn't mean much of anything when you see these numbers, okay? It doesn't mean much of anything at this point because there's going to be more. There's going to have to be more. So the question is, where does it end? Okay, maybe you showed proof that you got these vaccines, but then you have to show proof that you got the booster shot next time, and then you get charged more fees as a result of that. Yeah, that doesn't work. The university also has imposed strict fines for students who fail to upload proof of vaccination. So the charges could rack up to $2,275 per person per semester. So the university has announced a tiered fine system. The fees start at $100 per week for the first 2 weeks of the semester. The fees increase incrementally by $25 every 2 weeks after proof of vaccination has still not been filed, with the maximum fine imposed per week being at $200. Now, the kicker here is that unvaccinated students are required to participate in weekly testing. On-campus testing, failure to do so will result in a $100 fine. So you have to test for COVID weekly on top of these fines to remain non-vaccinated at this university. Okay. Once again, this isn't about your health. This isn't because they care about the students. It's plain and simply just control and trying to force people to do things that don't make sense. I mean, we have to look at the numbers. At some point, we have to look at the numbers here to determine what's going on. And when you thought that it was just maybe some fines, like I said, they're also limiting their Wi-Fi access as well for whatever reason. So if you don't meet the vaccination requirements by September 14th, you're getting cut off from the internet at the school. Yeah, that doesn't sound very fair to me. So, but this is not new, okay? So there's several other colleges that are actually doing this. So Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee is going to impose a $1,500 fine on unvaccinated students for the semester. And you also have Birmingham Southern College in Alabama that's going to fine students $500 to cover the cost of weekly testing. So they're basically having you pay them money, being forced to pay them money for a forced test that you don't even have a choice in. This is where we're at on school campuses right now, at least some of them. And I can assure you more are going to continue to do this. But we have to remember that these vaccine passports, these ideas of the things that we were talking about 6 months ago, we were called crazy about it, okay? When everybody 6 months ago was saying that vaccine passports are probably going to wind up being a thing, everybody looked at us like we were crazy. They called us conspiracy theorists. They thought that we were out of our minds. That's never going to happen. Well, that's basically what this is. You need to show proof of your vaccination record. That's what a vaccine passport really kind of is. You can't go to the school without it. And if you do, or if you don't choose to show the card or to get vaccinated, then you must suffer as a result. You must pay us extra money. You must do this weekly testing. Here's all the reasons why you're going to be excluded. I would not be surprised if they stick, as I've kind of talked about before in another story, kind of like a yellow star on you that denotes you as being unvaccinated on campus so people know not to be in close proximity with you. It wouldn't surprise me. Conspiracy theories are just spoiler alerts. That's all they are, because it's just telling us about what's going to happen 6 months down the road. We'll be called for it crazy today, or called crazy for it today, but just watch. Just wait, and in time, you'll finally realize, wait a minute, that was actually the correct thing all along. That's how this works. We're not crazy. It's the crazy people that are sitting there assuming that this was never going to happen, in my opinion. So this doesn't stop with college campuses. This goes all the way to hospitals, all the way to patients. Because a Washington hospital now is going to be removing patients from the transplant list for being unvaccinated. So in other words, you get to die. all because of not getting vaccinated. So the University of Washington Medical Center has kicked several patients off their transplant list, the waiting list there, for not being vaccinated. The report says that the hospital began denying organ transplants to the unvaccinated in June 2021. So in particular, they removed a 64-year-old patient from the transplant list. He says he was the one on the list for 2.5 years. So for a pretty good amount of time. The hospital made the decision after they learned that the patient refused to be vaccinated against COVID-19. They said they would consider adding him back to the waiting list should he satisfy their compliance concerns. That's what they're saying. Their compliance. That's the key word. Compliance. Do what we tell you to do. Okay. Really what this is somebody being told that they're going to die, that the hospital is going to allow them to die because they didn't get a vaccine. Now, maybe they're under the assumption that, you know what, maybe, you know, we don't want to give a transplant to somebody that ultimately is going to be someone that is maybe gets COVID because they didn't get the vaccine or something. And as a result of that, then, you know, maybe we just want to, we're looking out for them. We just want to make sure that this organ isn't going to waste or something like that. Well, okay, except we don't have any real data even on the vaccine being extremely effective and not specifically harmful. We don't know all of the results of everything. We don't know the ramifications. There have been no long-term studies, no long-term tests done on this vaccine either. So to immediately assume that that's the case, that it's immediately safe and that it's automatically going to protect against COVID, doesn't make sense. Remember, I just reported, we're talking about 50% effectiveness. Assuming that they, at least right now, considering that they haven't come out with a booster shot yet, so basically useless. You're willing to bet 50% on that to decide whether you're going to be able to live longer with a transplant or not? That shouldn't even be in the hospital's capabilities, in my opinion. I mean, it's absolutely insane that they're doing this to these people. It really is, because you're literally killing patients because of something that has nothing to do with their actual situation that they're trying to deal with, like the transplant. It's all about controlling people through this vaccine, through this virus. That's what this is all about. But even when the hospitals are deciding to do this, you really have to understand that this goes a lot further than just hospitals even as well. Because in our institutions, when we talk about teachers and schools, the same thing tends to come up, but not just with COVID and vaccines, but also with all the other left-wing ideologies. So here's a Utah teacher that is threatening in this ridiculous political rant, her students, and just kind of goes on this long tirade through every woke, far left-wing kind of ideology type thing, and basically slams her students for believing in anything else but what she believes in. Here's what this sounds like.
What's the problem? I'll straight up call it out. I'm like so over it. Okay. Okay, well, I would be super proud of you if you chose to get the vaccine. But, yeah. Yeah. We'll just keep getting variants over and over and over until people get vaccinated. It's never going to end. Exactly. It could end in 5 seconds if people would get vaccinated. Yes. I hate Donald Trump. I'm going to say it. I don't care what y'all think. Trump sucks. He's a sexual predator. He's a literal moron. Go tattle on me to the freaking admin. They don't give a crap. Yes. No, he is not.
What are you talking about?
Turn off the Fox News. Do your parents listen to Fox News? So what? This is my classroom, and if you guys are going to put me at risk, you're going to hear about it. Because I have to be here. I don't have to be happy about the fact that there's kids coming in here with their variants that could possibly get me or my family sick. That's rude.
And I'm not going to pretend like it's not. So don't ask me to. That's damn right. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to lie. If you ask me a legit question, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it either. Because y'all need to hear the truth.
Hey, I 100% agree. You have an opinion. I'm also just a dumb teenager.
You don't have to be, though. That's the thing. Most of y'all parents are dumber than you. I'm going to say that out loud. My parents are freaking dumb. Okay? And the minute I figured that out, the world opens up. You don't have to do everything your parents say, and you don't have to believe everything your parents believe, because most likely you're smarter than them.
I have 110% disagree. My parents are geniuses. I'm the idiot of the family. Like, 110%.
You can believe what you want to believe, but keep it quiet in here, because I'm probably going to make fun of you. Okay, I'll just say this. Here are the topics that you probably want to avoid in this class. Politics, which you went into. You asked me.
It's kind of fun to talk about it.
Yeah,
oh, I could go off on it the whole entire class period if you want me to. But I'm not going to. If you don't believe in climate change, get the hell out.
I'll be dead.
Okay. That's pathetic that you think that. You're the problem with the world. Okay. If you're a homophobe, get out.
Thank you.
Because I am the GSA faculty advisor. I love gay people. All LGBTQIA+ mother fuckers. If you don't like it, get out. If I hear you say a damn word against any of them, I will open a can. And I will make your life a living hell. And they know it. If you say shiz to any LGBTQ kid in the school, I will hear about it. And you will be in trouble.
I think I love you even more.
All right, so she's in there talking about the kids and saying that they aren't vaccinated. And once again, like, this is, people need to understand, nobody else is responsible for your health, okay? Democrats are trying to constantly pin this on people. I've pointed this out countless times online, on Gab. I post about this all the time, where I'm basically telling people, look, the Democrats are telling you, hey, get this vaccine, get this vaccine. They get the vaccine, they contract COVID, and then they blame people that didn't get the vaccine as a result of doing it. How stupid does that sound? It sounds stupid because it is stupid, okay? But that's what you have this lady in there saying. It's like, look, if your vaccination works, why are you concerned about whether other people are or not? You're basically saying it's because of you, someone else, that I got sick and I'm blaming it on you. And even though I did all of the stuff that the Democrats wanted me to do, I wore my mask, I did all of the stuff, and I got vaccinated with every single vaccination under the ocean, but this still happened to me. Okay, that can happen to you, but don't blame other people. You're the one that put your faith in that, and that failed you. It is what it is. So she goes on and she makes this statement. And she says, you don't have to do everything your parents say, and you don't have to believe everything your parents believe. It's like, okay, I mean, sure, but you're asking an entire classroom to believe what you believe. I mean, maybe you're a little biased, is all I'm saying, right? I mean, come on. It's ridiculous that you want these kids to adhere to what you have to believe in, but don't believe your parents. Believe me. I'm going to get mad if you say anything that I disagree with. Yeah, pretty hypocritical if you ask me. And then you have these people, and keep in mind, these people are teaching your children, okay? They're teaching kids in public schools. This is why we're talking about indoctrination, because this is the stuff that's happening. The only thing is that this particular video was obviously, looks like captured by a student on a cell phone or something like that, but in most of these situations, you may never know. You may never hear about it because there's no video of it that went viral or anything like that. You just have teachers espousing these political beliefs, and kids are just stuck to deal with it. And that shouldn't be happening in any public school whatsoever that values actual education whatsoever. But luckily in this situation is a bit of a silver lining in that the school actually did fire or at least put on administrative leave, which is basically fire the teacher as a result of this. So a statement came out from the school saying, "We became aware late this afternoon of an incident that took place today in one of our high school classrooms. An immediate investigation ensued." The school district was talking about as well, and they went on to say, "The employee has been put on administrative leave pending a thorough investigation. This behavior is inappropriate, not reflective of the professional conduct and decorum we expect of our teachers, and will not be tolerated." So that's good. At least it kind of ended well and they did the right thing, because ultimately teachers will continue to believe that they can do whatever they want in this. I mean, and it probably was because she was kind of threatening the students, like, if you disagree with anything in the LGBTQIA plus ARP community, then blah, 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 I'm going to beat you up or whatever she was basically saying, you know, and it's just crazy. You shouldn't have teachers like this teaching students whatsoever at all. But there's plenty more like this. Trust me, this isn't the last we're going to see of teachers getting outed and exposed for the real hacks that they really are in the classroom, for actually indoctrinating people. But when people ask me, where's the indoctrination? This is it. This is it. There's even a bit of another story kind of that's related to, in a way, subtly, to indoctrination in schools as well. And that has to do with this episode's TikTok liberal. So this TikTok liberal actually believes that being called, or the words American citizen, are actually inherently racialized terms.
I just got out of a lecture and my professor said something that really struck me that I feel like should have been super obvious that I just had not like connected the dots on before. And that is the fact that the term American citizen is like a racialized term. It's associated with whiteness, whether we want it to or not, because of the way that white supremacy is so like intricately bound with the foundation of the country that we call America. That when you hear the word American citizen, the first thing that comes to mind is a white person. And what's crazy is I have this super vivid memory when I was only like maybe like 5 or 6 years old. My mom was just about to get her citizenship and she was like, yo, I'm gonna be an American citizen. And I was like freaking out because I fully thought that my mother was gonna turn into a white woman. And obviously she didn't, but it's just crazy to me how at such a young age, I already was conditioned to think that American citizen meant white by default.
So first of all, it sounds to me like she is the one that's racist. I don't know about you, but it just comes off that she is the one that's attributing American citizen with whiteness. I mean, normal people aren't, but she is. That's what would make her racist. These are white liberals, right, that believe and think that for some reason that they are to right these wrongs by believing that white people are evil and everything else like that. They're being racist. That's what they're doing. They think it's, you know, just being tolerant or something, but it's not. It's not at all. She's the one that held that assumption that it's what it meant. And I thought when my mom did this, that she actually was going to turn white. That's her assumption, a racist assumption on her behalf. No one implanted that in her. Nobody did anything else like that. It's just what it is. Now, she kind of subtly mentions in there, as I was talking about before, about her hearing this in a lecture, I'm assuming in college, that she is and heard this from a professor. And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Guys, this is indoctrination. That's what that is. What they're telling her there, it's like this student that comes home from college and they think they're somehow smart because they heard a professor say something they didn't really think about all that much. You know, kids, just the term American citizen is really a white term. It means whites only. It's racist in and of its own name. Okay, and then they go home and they're like, oh, look, like, it totally makes sense. I'm so smart because my professor told me that saying American citizen means being white. That's where you get this from. This is the brainwashing. This is the indoctrination. This is what you're seeing right now. And as a result of this, they get on TikTok and they think they sound smart when they really are just making themselves sound really, really stupid. That's all this is about. Matter of fact, we're really the only country in the world, for the most part, where you can kind of attribute so many types of races in one place. But yet, for some reason, they want to think it's inherently bad, or to think that it's something that's going on specifically with whiteness or something like that. It doesn't make sense. Meanwhile, they have no problem with Africa being majority, vast, vast majority black, obviously attributed as being a black country, or China being a Chinese country. They have no problem with those, but America, it's the problem. Those words cannot be uttered to be a citizen of the United States. It's absolutely ridiculous. It really is ridiculous, especially because they're trying to push this narrative, I'm assuming, about immigration and everything else like that. I'm not buying any of this stuff that this girl is saying here, and or at least we assume is a girl. You know, we don't want to assume all of the 15 different pronouns they could probably be going by at any point. But the point and the takeaway with all of this is that this girl is not learning. Okay, she wasn't learning anything in there. She was being brainwashed, and they're too unable to see and tell the difference between the two things. That's really the problem that's going on there. So with that being said, that's all I have for you on this particular episode. I thank you for watching or listening to this one. Remember to check out 2A Jerky as well. Delicious product. I love their stuff there. So go check them out at 2ajerky.com. But with that being said, I thank you for watching, and I will see you on the next one.